We did this work with a couple of folks from Microsoft and a GoDaddy guy. So our main concern was to find if there is any trouble with the environmental conditions of the data centers and towards the reliability of the hard disks, conventional hard disks. So as you said, the data centers consume a lot of energy and they're very expensive to build. And the large fraction of this cost is actually attributed to cooling itself. So basically in the old days, you had your chiller-based cooling technology, a lot of energy, very expensive to build. You gradually start migrating to water-side economized solutions that they were saving a significant amount of energy, driving the PUEs down from 1.8 to probably 1.2. And then at some point, companies realized that we need cheaper cooling technology in terms of capital cost. So they migrated to what you call free cooling. So there is a new unexplored trade-off here, especially for Microsoft that operates all this wide spectrum of data centers between the environmental conditions, the reliability, and the cost, especially the hardware reliability cost. So I didn't like to put this picture. It's very complicated, but I need to give you an overview of how the cooling works for these three cooling technologies. And basically, I have two colors here, so basically two different data center types. On the left, I have a chiller-based data center equipped with a chiller. And basically, what you have is a couple of rows and racks. So your servers are exhausting hot air that has been recirculated to air handling units, to chillers with a water stream, and then rejected to the outside environment with help of cooling towers. So basically, in the old days, the chillers were always on. They were consuming a lot of energy all the time. So a smart solution is to shut them off in the periods that the cooling towers can support the full load of the data center. So this is what we call the water-side economized solution. So the takeaway from here is that the chillers and the water-side economized solutions, they tightly control the temperature and the relative humidity inside the data center. So on the other side, the new free cooling units, they just take the outside air, just push it inside the data center, and then you're using this air, whatever this temperature and relative humidity is, to cool down the servers. Now, at some point, you're going to be in a hot place, Singapore, and you cannot do it. So what you do, you spray with water, the air. This water evaporates from the air. It lowers the temperature, but it increases the relative humidity. So you can see that the free cooling may expose the servers to harsh environmental conditions, like high relative humidity. So basically, I'm just putting a very, very, very simple map over there to rank in terms of CapEx, OpEx, relative humidity, and temperature, the three different cooling technologies. And basically, you can see the green one with the free cooling scores very low OpEx and very low CapEx, but relative humidity and temperature is usually high. So of course, prior work has considered the disk failure rates. And basically, what they did is they went to chiller-based data centers and they collected traces. And they saw, you know, how many disks were failing in respect to the temperature. So on these data centers, the relative humidity was not a real concern because it was modern data, it was traditional data centers with no relative humidity concerns, constant relative humidity. So our work differentiates as follows. We have three kinds of cooling, so data centers equipped with three kinds of cooling. We have wider and more aggressive environmental envelopes, so you know, wide relative humidity ranges, relative temperature ranges, and the primary focus here is basically the relative humidity. So here is a roadmap. So first, I'm going to talk about the impact of the environmentals on the disk failure rates. I'm going to try to identify a few root causes. I'm going to do a cooling versus reliability versus cost analysis. I'm going to show you a model for the failure rates and then a few design considerations. So basically, our methodology is as follows. We went to 9 Microsoft data centers that we operated from 2 to 4 years. And basically, we collected telemetry for 1 million disks. And you can see on the table here, we have these 9 data centers. And the most important column is the leftmost, which has the tag for the data center, which is basically 3 letters. The first letter corresponds to the temperature, either cold or hot. The second corresponds to either humid or dry. And then there is a unique identifier. So basically, you can see that we have all the spectrum. And the summation on the far right column is 1.07 million disks. So the methodology that we do, as we said, we collect the telemetry. But this telemetry comes from Autopilot, which is the guy that orchestrates all the data centers around the Earth. And we care about for 3 kinds of disk failure modes. So basically, I/O communication faults. Basically, I cannot talk to the disk. The link is broken. The controller is broken. Behavioral smart faults. So basically, we have the smart breakdowns. Read/write attempts. The number of reallocated sectors have been exceeded. Seek times are too large to keep this disk, so we have to replace it. And age-related smart faults. Basically, the disk is gone because of maximum number of hours or maximum number of on-off cycles. So here I have a server rack, and I have also the autopilot on the right, so you see that there's no information exchange when everything is fine. But basically, when the error happens, the fault type is being transmitted to the autopilot stored, and then a guy goes and fixes the error. So basically, here is the primary result of the paper. I have a table, the previous table, extended with the AFRs that we observed for these 9 data centers. So basically, I have split, and I created 3 bands over there, CD band, the cold and dry band, the hot and dry band, and the hot and humid band. So basically, the takeaway is that if you go to dry data centers, the failure rates for the disks are pretty low, 1.5 to 2.3% per year, which is basically aligned with what the rest of the industry, I think, they have seen. But the thing is, when you go to the humid data centers, you see a massive explosion of the failure rates, that they range from 3 to 5%. And we have more data centers. This is what we could show. And the rest of the data centers that they are hot and humid, they are in the same page. And now the thing that I want to do is try to understand, you know, how, why these extra failures are happening. Okay, so the first thing that I did was, that I show here is 3 data centers, and I plot the breakdown of the failures. Okay, so I take the smart failures, the connectivity failures, and then I just plot the breakdown. So the 2 first data centers, the 2 first bars, they show two dry data centers. And you can see that the blue one is 60%. And the blue one corresponds to reallocated sectors count and raw read error rate. So basically, this tells us that most of the disks are failing due to mechanical degradation. Basically, I ran out of reallocated sectors because a lot of sectors are developing cracks and they are losing data. Now, the interesting thing is that when you move to a humid data center, what you can see is this completely changes. So basically, most of the failures are attributed to connectivity and controller failures. And actually, in Microsoft, we have seen that this is a corrosion effect. So we went out in data centers, we saw the disks, and they were corroded in the PCB. The second thing that I want to talk about is some temporal clustering that we've seen in some of our humid data centers. So basically, this very complicated graph, what I have is the daily failure rates for 2 data centers across 2 years. So basically, the red area plot is a hot and dry data center. And the black area plot is a hot and humid data center. So I have a summer, a winter, another summer. And then in the first summer and winter, you can see that the daily failure rates are approximately the same for the 2 data centers. But unfortunately, in the third summer, you can see a huge cluster. And that was actually a known event that was humidity. It was corrosion. So this data actually tells us that this process is not instant. Instead, it's a lifetime process. So basically, what happens is the corrosion takes time to develop. So the first summer, you didn't have almost any failures, although all the disks were there. But then the second summer, that the acceleration of the corrosion was higher, you could see that a lot of disks failed. Now, the third thing that we did is we tried to correlate the environmentals with the failure rates themselves. So we took the hot and humid data center, and we kind of split different parts of the data center, and we created 4 approximately equal populations, and we performed regression to find, you know, a good line that fits the data and a good exponential curve that fits the data. So on the left is the linear, and the right is the exponential. And we plot on this table the coefficient A for the linear and the coefficient B for the exponential. So because the numbers are too many, I'm going to just abstract the coefficients, and I'm just going to keep the sign. So if it's a positive relationship or a negative relationship, and you can see that the relative humidity column over there scored green, for all the populations. And if you go to fitting an exponential function, it's the same story. It's consistently only the relative humidity shows a positive relationship between the relative humidity and the failure rate. And the fourth thing is we tried to approach a question that was an old question in the disk reliability field. And it was saying that which is the function that explains the phenomenon better, a linear function or an exponential function? So basically, is it the phenomenon linear or nonlinear? So basically here I have the correlation matrix for these five variables, failure rates, temperature, relative humidity, and then their corresponding variations. And I have this symmetrical correlation matrix, which the diagonal is one, and the upper part of the diagonal and the bottom part of the diagonal is exactly the same. So I'm just going to concentrate on the bottom diagonal part for the temperature and relative humidity, and I'm going to calculate the correlation with the failure rates, and there is some correlation, not really significant, I would say. But when you go to a nonlinear correlation, which is the equivalent plot on the right, you can see that there's a really strong relationship. So we concluded from this plot that basically the relationship is nonlinear. So if everything is true, I would like to understand if we should keep the current cooling technologies or should the data centers migrate to an older, more expensive solution. And basically what we did is we calculated the cost for data centers, hypothetical data centers, of course, for 10, 15, and 20 years. So basically I have the three graphs are 10, 15, and 20 years, and then on the y-axis I have the cost, which grows as the number of years passes. So this is only cooling-related costs, and basically each bar I have the operational costs for the cooling, the capital cost for the cooling, and then the cost for buying extra disks after a baseline AFR of 1.5%. So basically what we say here is that we have already paid for the disks. Now we're going to concentrate on the extra cost after an AFR of 1.5%. So basically I have assigned an AFR of 1.5% to the chiller-based solution, 1.75 for the water side economized, and the maximum AFR that we observed for a hot and humid data center, which was 5.4%. And now you can see that as the years progresses, the chiller-based data center has zero extra cost for the disks. The water-side economized solution has some cost associated, but very small compared to the other ones. But if you go in 20 years and see the disk-related costs for the free cooling, which is the far right side, you can see that there's a significant portion over there. It's basically as expensive as buying the equipment itself in the first place. But then if you look at it from a total cost perspective, you would see that still deploying data centers with free cooling makes total sense, even though you have to pay for all this extra disk cost. So here I'm just quickly going to give you a summary of the observations. So we've seen that the failures correlate well with the environmental. So basically the relative humidity appears to have a dominant effect. We've seen from the breakdown of the failures that it affects different parts of the hard disk. So basically, the temperature seems to affect the mechanical part and the controller because it accelerates the corrosion effects. And the relative humidity seems to affect only the controller. So we haven't seen any mechanical effects to the disk due to the relative humidity. And then we've seen that the failures do not occur instantly and probably they follow a lifetime process where the lifetime is being consumed from the device with a rate which is not proportional, but dependent to the environmental conditions. And then the free cooling, of course, is still much, much cheaper than every other solution, despite the higher AFRs, the cost associated with higher AFRs. So now I'm going to quickly move to how we model these effects. So basically, what we would like is to estimate the failure rates for the disks for hypothetical scenarios, hypothetical server design scenarios, data center locations, set points. So basically, this is the trade-off space, like how much energy I'm going to put, how much capital cost I'm going to put, and how much the reliability is going to cost me. So basically, what you did following the observations, we modeled two independent processes, the one which is the mechanical degradation, and basically we use models from previous work based on the Arrhenius equation. We also model the corrosion for the PCB of the hard disk and the connectivity part. And basically here we used a combined Arrhenius equation. Basically you combine two Arrhenius equations together and you try to model the combined effects of both the temperature and the relative humidity to the controller. So basically what we did is we calculate what we call an acceleration factor. Basically an acceleration factor is how fast my disk is gonna fail, or my mechanical part or the controller part is gonna fail when I expose it to environmentals X versus a baseline environmental. For example, an AFR of 1.5% at 25 degrees centigrade, 75 Fahrenheit, and 50% relative humidity, which is basically what you can see in traditional data centers equipped with a chiller. So basically, we validated our model, and we went out. We took the coefficients for the previous population, P1. We validated across three other populations, and then we went out and we collected also temperature relative humidity from other data centers, except HH1 that I showed you before. And basically, we could actually approximate the actual AFR really well. Now, given all the previews, I'm just going to show you a scenario, how you can leverage the previous information and the model in order to say something useful to your company or any design considerations. So basically, what we have here is three different server designs. And basically, the airflow flows from the bottom. You can imagine the airflow flows from the bottom to the top. So on the bottom is a cold aisle, and on the top is the hot aisle. And basically, in these three hypothetical scenarios, you have the disks are placed in the front. So when you place the disk at the front, the disks are being cooled with humid and cold air. When you put the disks at the back, you can see that because the air is being preheated by the processor and the memory modules, the relative humidity is going to go down. This is the relationship that these two quantities have. And then it's a little bit more complicated when you do it on the side, because you have to calculate the individual contribution of each disk in terms of thermal and in terms of temperature increase. Maybe I would say one degree centigrade is enough for each individual disk. So basically, you have to calculate the failure rate for each individual disk as you progress from the front of the chassis to the back of the chassis. So basically, it turns out that if you put the disks at the back, the model predicts that you will have 20% less AFR. And basically, it's kind of aligned with what we see in Microsoft. And that's kind of surprising because the previous works always were saying, oh, the temperature is really, really destructive. You don't have to increase the temperature. But then when you put the disks at the back, they operate with a delta T. So the delta T is the difference between the cold aisle and the hot aisle. And they operate at the temperature which is almost equal to the delta T of the hot aisle. So basically 110 degrees Fahrenheit. And they're fine. They live forever. So, you know, the debate continues with this, this subject. And so basically what we've seen in this work is that we explored the hardware reliability versus environmentals versus cost. We took telemetry from 9 data centers, 9 Microsoft data centers equipped with 3 different cooling technologies and 1 million disks operated from 2 to 4 years. We saw that the AFRs were really impacted by the environmentals, especially high relative humidity. And we saw that this trade-off actually for now favors the free cooling, so you don't have to worry about going back to a more expensive solution. We developed a model to predict failure rates for hypothetical scenarios, and we've learned some lessons, hopefully, from all this work.
So this is really interesting. Knowing this, is it worth for manufacturers to make disks that are more resilient to humidity? Are they working on that?
Yes.
So I have a question too. So if you put the CPU and the memory boards in front, memory boards in particular have quite a few traces on them. Are you just moving the corrosion to a different component?
Yes. No, I'm not kidding.
Really?
No, I'm not kidding. That's the actual answer. We also had, so we didn't put in the, so we had failure rates for all the modules of the server. So CPU, memory, and we didn't, we said let's not include it in the paper. Okay, so the memory modules were actually failing quite fast when you were putting them in front. So yes.
Nice talk, interesting results. So given that if the humidity is high, you're going to see controller issues, does it make sense to make the mechanical parts with cheaper materials? Because, I mean, they would not necessarily fail and thereby reduce the cost. Yeah, are people doing that?
I have no idea. But if people were about to do that, then probably the mechanical failures are going to get increased, so the temperature effect will be harder. So your platter will be cracked faster if you could about to make it with cheaper material. So I don't know. There's always this trade-off space you have to
Thanks.
To quantify everything. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Ioannis.
Yeah. Thanks.